This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at chrisducker.com/Rainmaker.
This is Youpreneur FM, the official podcast of the Youpreneur Mastermind Community. A place where no entrepreneur gets left behind in their pursuit of building a business they can be proud of.
And now,
here's your host, serial entrepreneur and best-selling author, Chris Ducker.
Well, hello and welcome to episode number 175 of Youpreneur FM. Thank you very much for being with me. Yes, this is the place in the podcasting world for you to spend some time with us if you are a personal brand entrepreneur focused on building a long-term, profitable, successful business. If you're a coach, author, speaker, consultant, expert of any variety, building a business around your expertise and how you can serve your people, trust me, you found your home. This is it. Welcome. Welcome home. Today, I'm going to be sitting down with the brilliant Youpreneur community member, Philip Van Dusen. Has had a very long-standing career in brand development, particularly focusing on visual brand development. And so I'm going to be chatting with Philip. Before we do that, however, I want to remind you that as a listener to Youpreneur FM, you get instant free access to the Youpreneur Launchpad video course, a course I put together to really get you started, to get you moving, or maybe possibly put a little bit of fuel into your backside and actually kickstart everything that you've been focusing on when it comes to building your business around your brand. We cover everything from building, marketing, monetization, and growing your personal brand business. It's great. Lots of great videos, lots of downloads, the whole kit and caboodle. You can get it for free right now, today, over at chrisducker.com/launchpad. Go check it out. I promise you're going to like it. So onto myself and Philip. He's been a member of the Youpreneur community pretty much since we launched in September last year. And every month I like to spotlight and highlight one of our members from the community here on the show. Philip, for me, is about as close to an expert on visual branding as you're going to get. He's worked with some of the biggest companies in the world, and you'll hear all about those names, so I won't bother repeating them now when we're chatting. And really, we focus in on this in regards to the whole visual element of building our personal brands. And trust me, and we talk about this from the outset, there's a lot of rubbish online when it comes to color schemes and logo designs and website designs and all these different things. It's not a subject that we've really covered before here on the show. And that's why I was so excited to get Philip, a true expert of the industry, onto the show to talk about it. I know you're really going to love it. And if you're in the process of developing your personal brand for the first time, or maybe giving it a little bit of a rebrand, a little bit, you know, kind of breathing a little bit more new life into it, this is the perfect episode for you because you've got to do it right, people. Your reputation depends upon it. So here's myself and Philip. I know you're going to enjoy this. Let's do it. So Philip, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.
It's all our pleasure. So I've been really looking forward to doing this chat with you because, you know, not only are you a Youpreneur member, but we've become friends as well. And I kind of really just dig your focus of the visual element of personal branding and design and designing those kind of experiences that personal brands, and not just personal brands, exactly, in fact, brands and identities in general will have. And what I also like about you, and you know, we spent time in person with each other, where we met up at a Youpreneur meetup, and we got to hang out a little bit and everything, mm-hmm, is that you're like me, like you're an old school dude. You know what I mean? Like, you're like me. I'm an old dude.
Yeah.
Like I said, you're like me. I mean, you're an old school guy, but here you are doing business in the new world of online, you know, focused type, you know, brand identities and building up online businesses and all the rest of it, where I think, you know, the visual elements are probably more important than in any other medium, quite frankly, because people just make up their minds so darn quickly online.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to get you on the show. I've just got a sneaky feeling this is a well and truly over, or should I say underspoken about topic, but really over required topic to deep, mm-hmm, dive into, because
I don't know about you, but when I surf around the internet and I look at websites from coaches and consultants and authors and speakers, which are our primary demographic both for this show as well as for the Youpreneur community, there are some bloody horrible looking websites out there. And I kind of feel like we need to try and fix this. Do you want to go on a bit of a mission with me in the next 30
sure,
minutes
absolutely.
To see whether we can do it?
Yeah.
I mean, what's your take on the current state of the personal branding website nation out there? What's your take?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head in the fact that entrepreneurs and businesses in general have to look at branding as an ecosystem, right? Mm. It's not just a logo. A lot of podcasts, you know, their main sponsor is Fiverr, and they, you know, say, if you're an entrepreneur and you need a logo, just go on Fiverr and you'll get one for $10. That's the wrong thing to do, really.
Right.
You have to take a much broader view of all of the brand touch points that you as an entrepreneur are going to be having to control and that you can have influence over. Mm-hmm. And that is everything from, you know, from your logo to color, to texture, to photography style, to you know, layout, so a frame for a website. It can be sound branding. It can be motion branding. There are so many different aspects of branding that have to really sing the same song in order to create a unified picture of whatever your brand is. Mm-hmm. And so in designing that with as much forethought as you can is really important, because one of the things, and I think you alluded to this, is that when you don't do it well, you come across as very choppy.
Oh, absolutely.
And your website can look bad, or you go on your website and someone's website and it's this color scheme, and then you go on Twitter and it's something else and there's a different headshot and they're using a different font, or even down to tone of voice. You know, the way they tweet could be very, you know, personal and off the cuff, and then yep. their copy on their website could be terribly formal.
Mm. So it's not necessary. And when we talk about designing a personal brand, or should we say designing a personal brand focus, it's not always about actual visuals. It's statements, it's wordage, it's verbiage, it's everything to do with it.
Absolutely. It can be content. It can be the point of view of your content. It can be who you're serving as your consumer or customer, what your offering is. All of those things, when you talk about strategic branding, this brand strategy and business strategy is very deeply intertwined with that. And that gets into what your offering is, what your competitive advantage. How does that ladder up in a brand pyramid to, you know, how you are both functionally delivering on what your brand promises, but also how are you emotionally eventually going to be delivering on that? Because every brand, you know, strives for that emotional connection. Fulfilling someone's functional needs is the base of a brand pyramid. But as you move up that pyramid into emotional territory, that's where you get brand evangelists and people who are going to sing your song and want to be you and do your marketing for you, basically.
So let's talk a little bit before we get deep dive into this stuff. Give us a little bit of your background. Where did this branding focused journey sort of begin for you? What kind of boy was Philip? No, let's not go all that far back. But I mean, like, where did this whole kind of focus for you begin?
Well, I actually started off as a fine artist. I studied painting and have a master's in painting, actually, and taught at the college level. And I kind of I'll go on a slightly circuitous route because my career is very much like a web and not so much like a ladder. It has some jogs to the side. I was teaching in France and I was doing a lot of printmaking. I came back to my home in New York and decided to put a bunch of my prints on T-shirts and sell them. And so I walked the island of Manhattan with my little sample case, and I learned very quickly that I loved doing design, but I hated doing sales. And eventually I went to work for another one of my competitors, and became a creative director, and found very quickly that being a creative director was like being a teacher, except you made a lot more money and you weren't out of work every 9 months.
Right.
And so I made my way through a number of licensing companies, eventually ended up at Old Navy, a Gap Inc. company, and worked my way up to vice president of graphics and packaging, textile and color and trend there. After my stint in fashion retail, I made a jump over to strategic branding with a couple different global branding agencies doing strategic brand design and graphic design, working with Fortune 100 clients, everything from, you know, Safeway to Chevron, Levi's, Merck.
Big firms.
Microsoft. Big firms.
Right.
And then I jumped over to PepsiCo and was VP of design at PepsiCo for a while, doing a lot of snacks, and which was a lot of fun. And then I realized I'd been building other people's brands for 20 years, and I really wanted to build my own. And I decided to take some time off and really kind of rethink about what my passions were, about what I wanted to do with probably the second half of my career. And I started working with a professional coach. And I was having a lot of conversations with a lot of my networking partners. And I decided, I started to talk about my fascination with kind of the renaissance in makers culture that's happening in Brooklyn and across the United States. And decided to start an e-commerce brand with an old partner of mine from one of my agencies. And so we spent just last year starting an e-commerce content community kind of media brand called Verhaal.co, which is spelled V-E-R-H-A-A-L, and launched that at the end of the last year. And that was really when I started to, that's when I found out about Youpreneur, and also really started to experience the loneliness and that comes with being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
My business partner was in San Francisco, so we would Skype, you know, a couple times a week. But other than that, I was working out of my home office. And, you know, I'm coming from a career of 20 years of working with, you know, large teams of designers and, you know, multi-divisional matrixed organizations.
Of course.
And to suddenly be in my office with myself.
And were these other big firms like Pepsi and the other firms that you're with, were you always in an office environment? With a whole kind of big boardroom thing, and let's get the the vision boards out and all that kind of stuff. Right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've gone from a very, very busy, noisy, hustling, bustling type office environment to your little home office. That little nook
lots of
in your
international
home.
Travel and meeting with clients and
Okay.
And so it was a major shock to my system. And not only that, was that I suddenly didn't have that input of information and trend and activity and staying, you know, networked in with what was happening in the world, I was feeling kind of very boxed in. And that's when I started listening to some podcasts and came across yours. And when you said, you know, the entrepreneurial journey can be a very lonely one, I was like, okay, this guy's for me. And I started to listen to your podcast, and it literally within about 3 weeks, you started up Youpreneur, and I joined right up about 9 months ago.
Well, that's good. And yeah, indeed, it's been a great journey so far, and there's a lot coming, you know, for the end of our first year, and a lot of stuff that we've got planned for the second year, and way, way beyond that as well for Youpreneur. And we'll talk about that in another episode. But okay, so I want to get stuck into this here then. So other than the logo, I mean, you touched on it a little bit, the logo, the headshot thing and all that sort of stuff. I think the majority of people know that that's an important part of any personal brand, even though they might not be doing it very well, right? But I think they all know that that's important. Other than that, and you know, you've been on my website, you know how focused I am on kind of brand consistency and all the rest of it. I want to dive into that consistency subject point for a minute, because I think this is, for me, one of the biggest issues that I have. Like you say, different colors across different platforms, different fonts being used, different messages, quite frankly. Like, you've got to have the same damn message across all of your online platforms if you want to have any kind of real, you know, stickiness, right, in people's brains. How do you feel about the whole consistency angle? I'm curious because you've worked with these bigger brains, these bigger companies rather, where you know, they're changing and, you know, developing new products and services all the time, whereas a personal brand is a personal brand. You know what I mean? So what's your thoughts?
Well, the problems are actually exactly the same, no matter whether you're a Fortune 60 company or whether you're an individual. You have to look at the brand in exactly the same way. And in fact, the consultancy that I've started is bringing that kind of, you know, Fortune 60 type of brand thinking to the entrepreneur and the small and medium-sized business, because they need to adhere to these scientifically proven methodologies of brand building that gigantic corporations have been using for decades and to great effect, obviously. Mm-hmm. And the methods that they use are easily translatable to the individual. And so the more people know and understand what those methods are and what to look for and how to go about it, the better off their brand is going to be. And so your point, it was perfectly made. I mean, you're right. It's color, it's logo, it's photography style, it's tone of voice, it's, you know, there are so many brand touch points now in terms of, you know, sound, podcast, right? Or Periscope or Snapchat. Part of your brand could be, where do you do your snaps from? Do you do them from your car? Do you do them from your home office?
Right.
Do you do them from your co-working space? You know, how does that part of your brand ecosystem fit into the larger whole?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I want to talk real quick about Snapchat, because I think, you know, everybody's going mad over Snapchat right now. They have done for the last, pretty much since the turn of the year, particularly in the entrepreneurial space. And, you know, we had Gary on the show. We've talked about Snapchat. He's probably the biggest entrepreneurial evangelist out there. It doesn't hurt that he's an investor in the company, obviously. But, you know, it's interesting because and this person will remain nameless. But I was following somebody on Snapchat for a while that is apparently a quote-unquote kind of lifestyle entrepreneur based around traveling a lot. And this person is always apparently on the road, traveling all the time, visiting nice places, doing business from their laptop, et cetera, et cetera. But every single time that I looked at their snaps for 2 months, they were always in the exact same place.
Interesting.
So for me, that's a massive disconnect for me personally. I'm following this person because I want to see them in different environments, different cities around the world, et cetera, et cetera. But they're always on the exact, like, it was so obvious. Like, it'd be different if it was just a plain white wall. You might be able to get away with it, right? But it was the same chair. There was the same little thing in the background and all the rest of it. And I just thought to myself, there's a disconnect there. Is this what we're talking about when it comes to this
That's
sort of type of thing?
Exactly what we're talking about. Because as you design a personal brand, you have to set out a strategy for yourself. Who's your and most of what I've done in my career and most of what smart brands do is they are completely consumer centric. So what is the consumer insight that's going to differentiate you from your competition and make you rise above to the rest? How do your consumers want to be communicated to? What is the visual language that makes them comfortable or that makes them attracted to you? A lot of people can build a brand and build a brand around, oh, you know, I like blue, or I like this particular photo style, or I like this font. To a certain extent, you really have to think all of that through from the eyes of your consumer. And that's a very different mindset to kind of approach things with. You know, people who are, you know, someone who is an expert equestrian, right, who has a website and is trying to attract people to teach them how to ride. You know, if they're teaching, you know, Western riding, then you might want to, you know, have, you know, leather textures or warms and khakis and, you know, a Western font or, you know, to paint that picture of what that person who wants to learn Western riding is going to be attracted to. Right? So building, you know, having the strategy around what you want your brand to say is what will dictate what you do or what choices you will make across your branding. So you kind of have to build it from the ground up. And what happens a lot of times is people, we'll build things piece by piece. And, you know, gigantic corporations are as guilty of this as anybody else. They will, because they can be very fractured and matrixed, that different groups are doing things independently and they're not playing nice with each other or communicating with each other.
They'll develop
something online that's, you know, one kind of brand personality, and then they'll do something on broadcast radio that's something totally different. And entrepreneurs have a tendency to do the same thing. They'll build a website and that will look great, but then suddenly they'll go on Snapchat or they'll go on Twitter or Facebook and they won't take that into consideration and say, how should I be communicating to my consumer and what is going to be attractive to them?
No, I hear you loud and clear. So, okay, so let's put, let's say we're a, I don't know, let's say that we're a speaker author, all right? Almost every speaker I know is also an author and vice versa, right? What are some of the things that we can do to catapult our brand? We've got a decent website. We're pretty consistent against, you know, or rather, you know, on all our social platforms and that sort of type of thing. What can we do as a speaker author specifically to be able to really take our personal brand up to the next level?
Well, I think one of the things that you do very well is you put your face out there a lot. Whenever someone is a personal brand and they're trying to cultivate a cult of personality to an extent, they need to become absolutely ever-present visually to their audience. You do that by using kind of consistent photography. There are, you know, four or five, but very evenly styled photos that you use across your brand touch points. You know, one internet marketer who shall also remain nameless sends out their email newsletter with no imagery whatsoever. You know, it's mostly text, and they are a fairly attractive person. And they, you know, when I get these emails, I'm like, who is this from? You know, and I should be able to know from the second I open it up who it's from.
Not even a logo in there or anything?
No, it might be at the bottom, the signature or something like that. But there's no color story. There's no font story. There's no photography style. There's nothing that's, you know, immediately hitting me within that, you know, 3 second open that's telling me this is who this is from.
I'm with you.
And I've done a lot of work in consumer packaged goods. And one of the things, one of the philosophies that you work with when you deal with packages on a shelf is the 2010, you know, two scenario, which is 20 feet away, 10 feet away, and 2 feet away.
Right.
2 feet away is the moment of truth, right? Where you have 3 seconds to communicate to someone to get them to pick up your package. And that's very much the entire internet lives in that 3 second moment. You don't see things from 20 feet away or 15 feet away, right? They're right in front of your face and you have nanoseconds to impress somebody that this is from you. And this is a consistent message that you've always seen across all of my touch points, because, you know, they are only a nanosecond click away before they're gone, right? And it's not like you're going to have another opportunity to get in front of them. So that's one of the
your face out there. You're a personal brand, don't necessarily hide behind a logo all the time or a tagline all the time. Like, actually get your face out there and be seen as the person behind the brand, right?
Yeah, and I think that you also do a great job with this, in the fact that you are
you on the phone.
Sorry.
This is exactly the reason why you're on the call. Go on, cut you off.
And this is a perfect example. I joined Upreneur last September, and I think it was in January or maybe December, maybe 2 or 3 months after I joined. You put it out there. You're saying, I'm going to be in Philadelphia speaking. Anyone who's nearby, come down and meet me. So I drove down there and I met you within a month of even knowing you existed.
Right.
And you became – and we chatted. We went out to – you know, we had drinks. It was awesome. I got to know you as a person. And – you know, you're also, you know, you sing the same song in terms of, you know, it's all about the personal relationships.
Yep.
And that really cemented it for me. So that's another thing that the speaker authors can do is, you know, get out there and press the flesh, really. Meet people in person, even if it's just, you know, if it's a group thing, you know, like you did a group thing. You said anybody who can show up, just show up.
Yeah, absolutely. What I love about those little meetups as well is that sometimes it's just me and a couple of people.
Right.
And then sometimes there's me and 20 people, like depending on where I am, what event I'm at, what city I'm in, you know, that sort of type of thing. And you know what the thing is? For me personally, there's no difference between me sitting at a table with two people and me, you know, being in more of a social type environment with 20 people. I just want to meet you guys is what I want to do. And I want to bring my wife with me because she's important to the business as well. And you all love her and she loves you guys. I want her to meet you all as well. She wants to meet you all. And it's kind of like, for me, as you say, that P2P connection, that relationship-based, you know, if you want to call it relationship-based selling or relationship-based business, it's important to me. Like, it really is a fundamental factor. Like, I truly believe one of the reasons why I've been able to grow all my businesses, not just Youpreneur, but all my businesses, is because I put a massive, massive premium on relationships. And I think that's another thing where a lot of personal brand entrepreneurs are failing. They're not doing that. They're not doing that. They're trying to play the group coaching role. They're trying to play the, you know, keynote in front of 1,300 people role. By the way, 1,300 people keynotes are totally overrated as far as I'm concerned. I would much rather be in front of 300 people because you're going to get a much, much better connection with that audience. You're going to have much more fun yourself. And because it's a smaller environment, they'll have more fun with you as well. So, right. I mean, you know, here we are, we're ranting a little bit, but I believe that's true.
And that's the allure of the internet, right? You can have a massive following from the comfort of your home office.
Yes.
But that is also the danger because it will keep you from people. And people have to, and that's the wonderful things. And I think why Snapchat is blowing up is because people are actually getting to know people in their more humanistic way, and it's personalizing personalities. So the more people get out and interact with their customers, the better off they're going to be.
I completely agree with you. Let's talk a little bit about, other than the loneliness side of things. No, hang on. Before we get into that, I wanted to ask one more question, actually. It popped into my head as you were chatting, and now it's gone. But wait a minute, here it comes back. Okay, good. It's amazing how we can recall that, isn't it? So I want to know this. What's your take on pricing when it comes to personal brand? Does it play – I mean, we know it plays some sort of role, obviously, but is price perception – that important to personal branding? I mean, do we see someone charging a little more and think, oh, they must be more experienced or they must have more to bring me? Or what's your take? What's your opinion on the price side of things? Because it's an important factor, right?
Yeah, it is an important factor. And I would go back to the idea that it has to be consumer-centric, meaning who's your customer base? Are they people who have just gotten out of college and, you know, can't afford to pay their student loan, much less, you know, $25 for a webinar? Or are they someone who's, you know, a first dad, right? And then they want to, you know, learn how to perform a little better at their job and improve their public speaking, right? So they're going to be able to lay down $200 or $300 or $500 for a personalized experience. And so I think there's two sides of it. One is your customer and what they can afford, and the other is your brand perception. There are brands that make luxury leather handbags that are $3,000 or $10,000 for a handbag, and it's not really markedly different than a handbag that's $75.
Right.
But it's about the price perception and the value of the brand. And you can't build things like that absolutely overnight. I mean, you have to show up and show that you have, you know, quality of design and workmanship and all that good stuff. But you also are going to be communicating at a level that cements that belief in your consumer. And if you're not, you're not going to be able to charge $3,000 for a handbag.
Yeah.
But there are people who make $150 handbags who communicate and position their brands like they're $3,000 handbags, and they can sell them for $3,000.
Yeah.
So there are ways to paint your brand in a way that will create value.
I mean, my whole take here is that particularly in our world, in that more sort of consultant, author, speaker type world, my take is that as a community, okay, as a subsection of the internet, right, we are vastly undercharging for our wares, for our services, for our time. And I see that across the board. And we've talked about here on the show, we've mentioned a little bit tongue-in-cheek, and we've had a bit of fun with it, the hashtag double it. Whatever you're charging, just double it, and you'll get closer to what you should be getting paid. I mean, do you feel, based on the personal brand partnerships that you've had before in the past and the people that mm-hmm. you've served as a provider yourself in terms of working with your clients, would you agree with that statement? Or do you feel like people, again, yes, it's consumer-centric, but do you think we're cutting ourselves short a little bit?
I think we are. And I think that there is a value perception to price that's linked to price.
Right.
So I think that if you are selling something that is, you know, is going to take a little bit more of a commitment, people are, number one, they're going to expect, you know, a high quality product out of it. But if you're supplying that, you shouldn't feel bad about charging a premium for it.
Yes. Good gosh. Yeah. I agree 120%. I mean, I just feel like and you know, we've seen it inside of the community where people have said, Chris told me I should double my price.
Yeah.
And I did, and I sold 30% more last month. You know, these.
Yeah, there was just someone on the forum in Facebook who tripled her price.
And yeah.
she's still selling.
Yeah. And she's still making money. And now she's making more money, right?
Right.
And I often say, you know, if you're charging a minimal amount, particularly for anything where you're trading time for money, so coaching, for example, one-on-one coaching, right. If you're becoming overwhelmed with not having enough time to quote unquote grow your business because you're always on coaching calls all the time, double your cost. You'll lose half of your clients, but you'll make the same amount of money and you'll have more time to work on the business, et cetera, et cetera. And I think people have issues with that. I know a lot of people have asked me for that advice. I've given it to them and they've not taken action. Yet those that do actually do see genuine gains in their business growth. So you can take that with a pinch of salt, everybody, for you guys tuning in.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Go on. You were going to say.
I was going to say, and there are all sort of psychological reasons happens, I think, but I won't go into it.
Yeah. That's a whole different show.
And I think you should do that one, John Corday, actually.
Yeah. Well, we've had John on the show before, and John was amazing. And
He would be more attuned to that subject.
Yeah, he's just so good. I feel like I could chat with him for hours. And we've never even met actually in person, John and I, yet. And I'm really looking forward to the chance of hopefully meeting him. Yeah. And for you guys listening in, actually, we will talk with John at some point again in the future, I'm sure. But in the meantime, you should go over and check out the session that we did with him not so long ago. I will link to that in the show notes for sure. So, Phil, to wrap up here, let me ask you, man. I mean, other than the entrepreneurial loneliness factor of joining Youpreneur, where were you? Obviously, you just sort of launched your personal brand and stuff. Like, where were you before? And then now, where are you 9 months after being part of the community? I always ask this question whenever we have members on, not necessarily to have you guys sing our praises, but more for my own personal curiosity to see how the journeys are developing and unraveling, you know?
Well, I think for me, it was really one of those watershed moments in my personal and career development. And there's only a few of those in your career, and this was definitely one of mine.
Mm-hmm.
It radically increased the range of connections that I had and network within an entrepreneurial community rather than in a more, you know, professional or corporate community.
Yep.
One of the things I did when I joined Youpreneur was I went on the forums and I offered free brand consulting to all the Youpreneur members who wanted to take me up on it.
Yep.
And I did that on purpose for two reasons. One, I wanted to kind of practice what I was doing with giant corporations on individuals. And I wanted to give back to the community and have some fun. And so I probably close to a dozen people took me up on that. And it did two things for me. One, it completely re-energized me in my passion for branding, but coming at it from a more entrepreneurial perspective. And secondly, it introduced me to and I got to know some really fantastic people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was what the community's done for me more than anything. You have you know, or by, you know, bi-weekly, bi-monthly, I'm not sure ever how that goes, conference calls.
Yep, but, flip-flops, yeah,
I've set up a mini mastermind breakout group that we meet independently of the Upreneur group via Google Plus. We've also established an Eastern time zone group that actually meets physically in New York City. And we've had one meeting and we're planning on another. So the level of networking and connections that I've had has dramatically increased. The other major factor is that it has cut my learning curve down by probably 9/10. When I was working on my own, you know, I was having to learn about MailChimp and plugins and email marketing and SumoMe and HubSpot and all that sort of stuff on my own.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was hunt and peck on the keyboard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when I got into Upreneur, I'm like, hey, you know, how do I best use HubSpot for, you know, this particular client outreach? Or how do I set up, you know, an opt-in magnet for my website to capture more email addresses? And it was like, boom, you know, I would get 5-6 different incredibly helpful answers.
Like straight away, literally.
In like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was learning at this incredibly accelerated rate and have been for the last 9 months. And it's just been, it's been transformative, to tell you the truth.
Well, that's great. I love the fact, you know, and I, like I said, I ask that question all the time. And that's the first time actually, and I'm sure that it's not just you that's felt this way, but it's the first time that somebody's given me that answer specifically where you say the learning curve has been cut like mad. And I love that because, you know, the community itself, we're all about the community element. Anybody that is a member and an active member, obviously you always get a few lurkers in any membership as well. But anybody that's an active member will know that we put a real premium on the community because of my philosophies around the whole kind of relationship building, you know, journey. But, you know, we have workshops in there. We've got, you know, expert interviews in there every month. We've got those process blueprints that we publish every month. Mm-hmm. All of these things can help you, you know, move that needle faster and further down as well. And I think that the learning is just, it's part, you know, it's got to be part of the pie. You can't just have relationships. You just can't not be lonely anymore. You've got to have that learning part of it as well. I'm pumped to hear that it's worked so well for you.
And the great thing about it is that there's so many different levels in it too. I mean, I had a fairly accomplished professional career, but it was in the corporate and agency world. And when I came into the entrepreneurial world, I was a babe in the woods, right? I didn't know anything. And so apart from how to brand things. And so having people being able to join Upreneur and say, and dare to be stupid and get into a forum and say, hey, I don't know how to do this. And having a whole bunch of people who are a lot more accomplished than I was at developing their own personal offering, be able to chime in and take me by the hand and lead me along was just fantastic. You know, it was just amazing.
I love it. I really do. That's at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. Oh, so here's something I want to talk about real quick before we sign off here. How does appearance, you know, some people wear the same color shirt, some people have a baseball cap on all the time or a different colored tie or whatever it is. Where does appearance come into play when it comes to the personal branding landscape?
So people who are appearing on video or on, you know, speaking in front of audiences, how you look, your personal appearance is as much branding as anything else. So your clothes, your hair, your makeup, your facial hair. Think of some iconic branded personalities that do this really well. For instance, Steve Jobs with his incredibly iconic black t-shirt and jeans whenever he was introducing a new product. Tom Wolfe, the author who always wore a white suit. Bill Nye, the science guy with his bow tie. Lady Gaga with her outrageous fashion. All of these people used visual style personal branding to really great effect in developing their own personal brands. I mean, even to the extent of, you know, 007 with his suit and always wearing that Omega watch. Developing a look that is remarkable is something that will always improve your level of recognizability to your customers and consumers, and that's always a good thing. We've heard the phrase that being different is better than being better. Well, that is definitely the truth when it comes to personal branding and personal style.
Well, you're a very valued member of the community. You know that. You know I think, you know, a lot of you. And I wish you all the best with everything. And, you know, for you guys tuning in, if you want to find out a little bit more about Philip and his kind of philosophies and vision on all this stuff, I want you to hop over to philipvandusen.com.
Yeah.
We will link to that and everything else over in the show notes, which will be at chrisducker.com/episode175. And Philip, thank you for being on the show, man. It was a really good conversation. I think this stuff, it just doesn't get talked about enough. And we've touched on the subject of branding and design here and there, but I really wanted to do a very dedicated show to it. And you were the man to bring on and talk about it. So thanks again, man.
Well, thank you. I had a lot of fun, Chris.
Yeah, lots of fun. You guys listening in, thank you for always. You know, I often say that there are many podcasts that you could be tuning into right this second. But you're here with us, and I appreciate you for that. I will be back at you again next week. Until then, take good care, be kind to each other, and go check out that personal brand. See if there's anything you can do to clear things up a little bit. I'll be back at you again soon. Bye for now.
If the idea of an entrepreneurial community where you get to learn from the best in the business, as well as rub shoulders, gain support, have access to immediate feedback, as well as nonstop accountability from your peers, is something that excites you, then visit youpreneur.com for more information and to get started on building a business you can truly be proud of today. That's youpreneur.com. We'll see you on the inside.